Welcome to the EDUCAUSE podcast. If you'd like to find more sessions, interviews, and story podcasts, visit our podcast page at www.educause.edu/podcasts or search for EDUCAUSE on iTunes. This podcast features a program session from the EDUCAUSE 2010 Annual Conference.
I'm Debbie Montano. I'm a chief architect for government education and medical for Juniper Networks. We're going to talk about how to make your data center cloud ready and what that means. So some of the objectives for the data center or challenges, you need to do more with less, provide more services to end customers and provide them securely. In some cases, you need to be able to charge your customers only for what they use, when they use it, have a method for doing that. Reliability is a huge issue. And then for a lot of people, making the data center a profit center or at least economical to deliver the services and applications you need to deliver is important. Gartner talks about cloud computing as a style of computing where scalable and elastic IT-enabled capabilities are provided as a service to external customers using internet technologies. So that breaks down to something that's service-based, where you're abstracting what the consumers are concerned with versus the services infrastructure itself. Elastic and scalable, able to grow on demand or shrink for certain applications when those resources aren't needed. Cloud computing is about sharing resources and having the economies of scale because you can share them. You know, we're used to everyone having their own compute resources, but they sit around idle an awful lot of the time. Another aspect of cloud computing is metered use. A lot of times you need to be able to charge, whether on paper or with real monetary exchange, how people are using these services. And then cloud computing involves internet technology, delivering it over the network. So a little bit about history. If you think about back in the 1980s and even before, campus computing was centralized. There was the computing center with mainframes and mini computers. And that was relatively efficient in terms of space and power for the time, but they controlled it, or you controlled it, you know, centralized control, which was not what everybody in the universe wanted. Then in the 1990s, the PC revolution came and resources went out to departments, different buildings, administrations, work groups, and these PCs eventually became servers for different groups. So the end users had freedom, they had their own control, but it wasn't very efficient. There was a lot of duplicated resources, multiple servers sitting around idle a lot of the time. So you end up with servers everywhere. Security is a big problem because either there's no security or it's really haphazard or whatever different groups decide they need. You know, there isn't time for somebody to be professional about it and manage it. And you don't have the efficiencies of the space and power and cooling. So in a way, we've come full circle back to the computing center, which is now called the data center, to consolidate compute resources, storage resources, to provide nonstop operation, which you don't always get with a individual server out wherever. You can apply green concepts to reduce the resource impact. And also important part is applying virtualization to be able to take advantage of these resources in an efficient manner. And then in terms of networking specifically, you know, networking grew up with Ethernet as providing the mechanism for a local area network. Even before that, I'm old enough to remember the cable. No switches, just a cable. If you kicked it, you were in trouble. And a lot of contention on the network. So switch, you know, Ethernet switch is a very good invention. And then that became the basic building block of networking. So this was also then moved over into the data center, which has worked pretty well. But as data centers become more critical, you want to install redundant connections in case a switch goes out or a network interface card goes out or you have another problem. And that creates loops, which Ethernet was not designed to handle. So spanning tree protocol is run, which will block the loops, which will make it so that of two connections to a location, only one is used, which means you have extra network interface cards, extra switch ports, extra connections that aren't being used just in case. You can't use them even if the first one's full. Originally, more of the data center traffic was flowing in and out of the data center from the servers to clients elsewhere. But with service-oriented applications and other changes, as the number of servers have increased, applications are spread across servers, and you have a lot more traffic going, what we say, east-west, so that the flow of traffic in the data center can be quite different than it was with this original design. So cloud computing, in my view, is delivering services over the network, such as infrastructure as a service, providing compute resources to someone to run their own jobs, or platform as a service, applications as a service, otherwise known as software as a service, and then delivering this over the cloud infrastructure. So you have shared pools of resources, and that's where the service production and the service delivery occur. And in terms of service production, you have the pools of resources, and it's the network that interconnects these pools. And the network is a key component. The larger the pools of resources you have to share, the more you can have the dynamic growth and shrinking for any given application. It's more efficient, it's more elastic. But the old network design limits how much you can grow this. I also wanted to talk just a little about what is server virtualization, because then we extend that concept beyond that to network virtualization. So the idea is that instead of having a given compute resource dedicated to one application, that it can appear to be multiple virtual machines on one physical machine. And this is done by running some type of hypervisor to divide up the machine. It can be run on Intel-based x86 platforms, other kinds of platforms from, you know, IBM P-Series or Oracle Sun servers. And examples are VMware ESX, Microsoft Hyper-V, Linux KVM, Citrix Xen. Those are all different hypervisors that can run on a machine to create virtual machines for you. So steps to a cloud-ready data center, we've got three steps. Simplifying the infrastructure, setting up appropriate policies to share that infrastructure, and then the approach to how do you secure a cloud environment in your own data center. So first we'll talk about simplifying. So here we've got a representation of a legacy network, a traditional data center with, at the bottom, servers connected by Ethernet switches, which is the access layer. Also at the bottom, we've got storage, which may be on its own network, a fiber channel storage area network, its own separate network. This then would connect to more switches, forming the aggregation layer, and then a whole bunch of potentially different security devices, SSL VPN, firewall, IPsec VPN, intrusion protection systems, IPS. And then that, in turn, going up to a core layer and to routers that connect out at the top to the wide area network and so on. And again, if we look at this multiple tiers, you know, it works fine to a certain scale, but as you add servers, and if your traffic, if some significant percentage of your traffic is really going between your own servers, you know, east-west instead of the north-south in and out of the data center, you end up with multiple hops through all these switches and all these layers just to get traffic from one server in one rack on one side of the room to another server in another rack on the other side of the room. So you have extra hops, extra latency, which is delay. And as you try to increase the scale of this, it becomes more and more complex, not less and less. If you have a redundant setup, which this picture doesn't show, you can have up to 50% of the bandwidth between servers and switches shut off because you might get a loop. Also, a lot of the ports on your switches are just used to connect other switches. So the approach that Juniper puts forward and enables with our technology is to consolidate and virtualize the security appliances, apply that to security, virtualize the access layer, collapse the core and aggregation layers to remove a whole layer altogether, enable use technologies to connect data centers together for further scale, and then simplify management. So I'll go through all these. I'm wondering how many of you have data centers you're running or just trying to get a sense of cloud computing. I guess, how many are involved with data centers right now and data center decisions? That's a good percentage. And how many of you are you currently using virtualization on your servers? Almost everyone as well. Great. Well, hopefully I'm going to tell you something you don't know or at least reinforce some things that you've been thinking about. In terms of simplifying the infrastructure, we start by looking at security. As you probably find, You have security devices in different locations, added at different times as demand requires, and you may not have the right security device in the right spot. It's, you know, very hard to balance, and you don't know what your requirements are going to be in the future. So the idea is to say, well, let's take all those security capabilities and put them in one dynamic services gateway, which will provide, which you can program to do, you know, to be the firewall, to be the intrusion prevention system, et cetera. And this picture shows two for redundancy. So that takes, and that reduces the number of hops. You're not hopping through multiple security devices, just one. Lower power and space and cooling requirements. And then what Juniper has is virtual chassis technology. So you can take multiple top-of-rack switches, for example, and combine them, and it, from a management point of view, it appears to be one chassis. And they interconnect as well so that traffic can flow from one to the other without going up to your aggregation layer and back down. And you can reduce, because it's effectively, you know, in the yellow there, effectively one switch, you can reduce the number of connections to it. You don't need a connection to each switch. I mean, you could do that. It depends on your, you know, network requirements and design. But you have fewer switches to manage. You can reduce the uplinks, and you get effectively the, you know, economics and the features of end of row switch, and you can use top at the top of the row. So once you've done that, then what we recommend is collapse the core and aggregation levels. Use a larger switch to, you know, interconnect. You've got the virtual chassis, so you really need fewer. You don't need to necessarily connect to every single individual top of rack switch anyway. And with the larger switches, you can support a much larger deployment. We've also got some virtualization on that chassis layer coming as well. So this eliminates the aggregation level, simplifies it, and again, reduces space and power requirements and cooling requirements. And then you can use, part of the idea is you can extend VLANs out to other data centers if you want. You can have virtual machines moving even from servers in this data center to another data center as needed, as if your application balance has changed and this location's full or you need to put something in that's critical, move some jobs to another location altogether. So this provides, you know, multicast, MPLS, VPLS to extend your VLANs. And then you want simplified management. These all have run the same operating system, can be managed by the same pane of glass, if you will, the same centralized management Juno space. And then we've got some other tools, Network Security Manager and Security Threat Response Manager, STRM. So that's already simplified. Looking to the future, Juniper is looking at a single data center fabric. So having a network fabric that can interconnect not only your servers, the storage, the security devices, connect to your routers that go out into the world. And again, this is, the idea is, you know, it's managed as one device. It may be multiple, physical devices, but it appears as one device. And that's the Stratus project. That's Stratus is a flat cloud. So that's what we're looking at. That's coming in the future. So that's the idea of simplifying the infrastructure. I know there's a lot of steps there. Then if you're going to have a cloud infrastructure, you need to be able to share those resources. And part of the idea of sharing is how do I make use of, you know, how does this, what are the implications on this for the network? You know, it's one thing to say, well, I'm running VMware and I can allocate those around, but what are the implications for the network? So what you end up wanting to do is logically partition your network to manage among these different resources, you know, manage how you're sharing them. So you need a simple, flexible design. It needs to scale, need to be able to management. And I think the important point in this slide is you can align how your network's divided with your applications, with your users' needs. So this shows physical or even virtual server instances interconnected in VLANs, you know, virtual local area networks. Then you can, I mean, there's a lot of flexibility. You know, you could do a whole hour at least just on options for setting up VLANs and security zones. But at the high level, you can divide different VLANs into zones. And the idea is that within a zone, you can communicate, applications can communicate openly, but across zones, then you're applying different security policies. You might have a zone that's got the dorms in it, and you don't want that in the same zone as your registration data, your data that needs to be HIPAA compliant. And the interesting thing is you can set this up so that the zones cross from one data center to another. You can have a VLAN that goes all the way or a VPN that goes across data centers so that some applications are designed so that they think anything they talk to is on the same VLAN. So you can fool them into thinking, I mean, in fact, you set it up so that they're on the same local area network. It just doesn't happen to be in the same building. So the idea with sharing is you share, but you have the need to separate your user communities, applications, departments, whatever your needs are to keep some firewalls between things. And then there's the interesting topic of security. So what's interesting to me from cloud computing is, you know, long ago, you had the castle model. You could have thick walls, a moat, a drawbridge to control access, and there was the concept of in or out. That concept really doesn't exist very much anymore. And it's very difficult, particularly with ubiquitous wireless and access and lots of different communities coming and going. And particularly with cloud computing, you're setting up the idea that, well, we've got all these resources, but different people get access to different parts at different times. So that's more of a hotel model, where you've got your access cards. There's places you can come at different times, but you don't have access to everything. And you want to be able to control and monitor who's coming and going. From a security point of view, you've got your data centers, you've got traffic within the data centers, potentially from one data center to another, and traffic from your clients to your data center and back. So you have to secure the flows between servers in your data center. You may also need to secure the flows between virtual machines on a given server. So that's a new aspect with cloud computing. You want to be looking at how are you providing transport between your data centers, and then you're securing the flows out to your clients and back, hopefully. Ideally, getting to the point of having a coordinated threat control. So this shows the idea of you have a virtual pool of security services, just like you would your compute resources. You have a way to set the policies, a way to do reporting and view that. Part of the idea with coordinated threat control is that, you know, you may know a particular professor and their laptop or a particular administrator and know that they are supposed to have access to a certain set of applications, but then they take the laptop home and somebody downloads a virus and gets on the internet and then they bring it back. It would be ideal to be able to not only know, well, this user goes to this application, but do they have the latest virus scan applied? Do they have the latest operating system patches applied? Or, you know, if I detect that they're trying to access something they shouldn't access, you know, whether it's them or a virus, you know, can I shut that off automatically until I can figure out what's going on? A way to be able to have a holistic view and a more pinpointed response to things. So the virtualized security services may include denial of service protection, firewall authentication, encryption, traffic prioritization, intrusion prevention. I mean, plus you really want to be able to see this. You want real-time visibility of what's happening from a security stance. You're going to want to have different applications set up in different zones. You know, somebody from the HR zone may not be allowed to access the finance zone, or you want to control what kind of information is flowing. By the same token, within a server, you need security between the virtual machines. Juniper has partnered with Altor, who provides a virtual firewall and security capabilities inside a server between virtual machines. So that's pretty interesting. So then ultimately, you've simplified your architecture. You've thought about the additional pieces of security you need. How do you manage all this? You know, are there new tools? So Juniper has some new tools called JunoSpace. It's a platform for automation, for support, operations. Juniper's developed a lot of applications. Our partners have developed applications. So it's an open platform, and we're working also with the education communities to see about working together on applications so that this is a scalable thing which will continue to grow. So this is about automation, a good way to try to reduce the burden and reduce errors. That's one of the things that's been found, that the number of network downtime is not most often from hardware failure or software failure, but it's from having something that's so complex that a person who knows better still makes mistakes. I mean, that seems to be the biggest problem. So JunoSpace is basically think of it as an orchestration platform, a way to help manage and improve uptime. Let me go through some specifics. For example, there's an application within JunoSpace called Virtual Control. So on a server at the bottom right, between virtual machines, you may have a virtual switch that's like vNetwork distributed switch from VMware. So then vNetwork distributed switch communicates with vCenter, which is VMware's management platform, which has an API, application programming interface, that will talk to virtual control on JunoSpace. So then virtual control is able to communicate not only with physical Ethernet switches that you're managing, but with the virtual Ethernet switch as well, so that you can have commonality of configurations, of visibility and setup. So that's a way where you need an additional step to be managing, or additional piece of the puzzle to connect the dots, to be managing both virtual machines and virtual switches and physical Ethernet switches. Campus Builder, just briefly, is you can apply the same predefined port settings to multiple switches, you know, whether it's in a data center or a campus, a way to automate configuration. ServiceNow is on the service side, on the operational side, in terms of providing a way to automatically provide scripts and information gathering if there's a failure that goes to Juno's Technical Assistance Center. So Ethernet design is focused on both enterprise campus and data center deployments, provides workflow management. Best practices are built into it, and then you can tweak those as well, like port security, quality of service, spanning tree protocol. So this is intended to speed the deployment and have it be more reliable because you've got a template to work from and reduce network outages. And then we've got a similar tool for security design to improve the security posture to allow you, you know, to have a graphical way. I mean, this doesn't prevent anybody from going in and typing in CLI commands. You know, if you've ever wanted to say, look, I'm tired of going into five different places and having to refer to my spreadsheet for what I should be doing, this tool is intended to help automate that, make it more straightforward, give you better visibility. And then another piece of the puzzle is Network Activate. Again, point and click for rapid service rollouts. So the idea is that all this adds up to more scale, more flexible, more elastic, better performance, better security, more reliability, which will ideally increase the user experience. And at the same time, keep the economics in line, lower the total cost of ownership. So that's the idea. Simplify your network. Figure out how you're going to manage the sharing. Ensure you've got security covered and that it's not going to blow you out of the water. So that's what I have.
You can find more EDUCAUSE podcasts by visiting our podcast page at www.educause.edu/podcasts or search for EDUCAUSE on iTunes. EDUCAUSE podcasts are now available to listen to straight from your mobile device. Just visit www.educause.edu/mobile. I'm Jerry Bain. Thanks for listening.